Amen. Welcome back if you've been on holiday, and welcome back to the Apostles' Creed, because today we resume our series on the Creed, and we pick it up at the declaration, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Let me introduce this with two verses from the New Testament. The first is the best known and most oft quoted of all texts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The second may not be so immediately so well known, but it seems to me to be the best one sentence summary of the message of the Testament that there is. We know it as 2 Corinthians 5:19, and it reads, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. These two verses command our attention because the first gives an assurance of salvation, and the second reminds us that there is more at stake here than our salvation, and that there is work for us to do in bringing God's message to God's world. But it may seem contrary to this morning's theme to quote texts that mention the first two members of the Trinity. He gave his only begotten Son, and God was in Christ. But do not mention the third member, who is meant to be the focus of our thinking today. But just suppose for a moment that there were no third person. Let us ask ourselves what would be different if Jesus had never said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, or if he had said that and the promise had never been fulfilled. Absent the Holy Spirit, the date would be different for a start. For no one would ever have thought of numbering years from the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. There would be no church. I quote from 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Sunday would not be a special day. Christianity would not be the religion of almost one-third of the world's population. Without the third member of the Trinity, the teachings of Jesus would have been forgotten, for there would have been no one to write them down, and there would have been no New Testament. His first disciples would have been his last disciples. If he had left any trace at all, that would have been no more, would merit no more than a footnote in the most abstruse scholarly studies of the Roman empires or a detailed scrutiny of the obscurer sects of Judaism. But praise God, things turned out differently. As promised, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, did come. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. As promised, the advocate has remained with God's people. His was not a transient visitation. At the request of the Son, the Father has given the Holy Spirit to help you and to be with you forever. Allow me to be personal for a moment. Because if there is one prayer that I bring with me whenever I preach about the Holy Spirit, it is that I might be able to make people aware, I might be able to make myself more aware that forever means here and now. The Lord is here, his Spirit is with us, should not be an empty exchange of pious-sounding pleasantries among Christians. It should thrill us. We should rejoice that when at the start of a prayer book communion service like this, we say our Amen to the celebrants, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit. We are acknowledging that God is with us now, and that he can work in our hearts, that he can direct our thoughts, that he can shape our actions in the same way as he did on the day of Pentecost. Let us never fall into the trap of thinking that an assurance of the presence of the Holy Spirit is a phenomenon that was once true but is sadly no longer the case, or that it may be true for other churches or for Christians in other countries, but doesn't quite apply to us. As promised, the Advocate makes Christ real to us. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. It was because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that Peter was able to preach on the day of Pentecost, as Acts 2 expresses it. This Jesus God raised up, and of all that we are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. Because of the Holy Spirit, Paul was able to write to the church at Rome that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Because of the presence and the power of the Spirit, the church has been able to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Because of the presence and the power of the Spirit, those who respond to that gospel can know that the message proclaimed in the towns of Galilee is a message for them in their own day. It is a message for us in our town, in our day. They can know, and we can know, that the salvation won at Calvary was won for us and for them. As we read John 3:16 and 2 Corinthians 5:19 that I quoted at the start, it is through the presence of the Spirit with us that we can know that the salvation secured by God's only begotten Son is our salvation. It is because of the power of the Spirit at work among us that we can dare commit ourselves to playing our part in proclaiming and living out that mission of reconciliation. At the end of a sermon, it is good to find one sentence that encapsulates what one has been trying to convey. Well, this morning my task is made a lot easier because the sentence that I want to impart is one that we have already all said or sung together. We have already given collective expression to the truth I've been seeking to underscore. You'll remember the words. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. Let us rejoice in that. And let us live as those who know it to be true. Amen.